This Saturday, the 180 Church in Northwest Detroit will host former President Donald Trump as he seeks to connect with black voters and address the gathering. The visit is part of Trump's ongoing campaign efforts, underscoring Michigan's significance as a pivotal battleground state. We are pleased to have in studio with us the pastor of 180 Church, Pastor Lorenzo Sewell. He's also known affectionately as Pastor Zoe. Pastor Zoe, welcome to JR Morning.
I'm Holy Ghost happy to be here. Thank you so much.
As are we.
For allowing me to be here.
How did this come about that the former president is going to be at your church this Saturday?
Well, they reached out to us, and we're a praying church. We are a church that prays for all of our political candidates, and it was a product of prayer. He reached out to us, and he said he wanted to have a conversation, and we were hippopotamus happy that he would be willing to come out.
Why you, do you think?
Well, because I believe that we are in the heart of the hood. I mean, we're in a place that's forgotten. When you're talking about Schaefer, Schoolcraft, Grand River, it's the least of the least of these. It's the part of the community that people aren't going to in saying that they want to build a family in. Mm-hmm.
Do you see this visit as, great, let's talk about the issues, I welcome you, or do you see it as political pandering to a different group?
That's a very good question. When we had the initial conversation, the first thing I told the former president was I wanted to make sure that those that are addicted to methadone could come. Because right next to our building, we have a methadone clinic where people have been generationally addicted.
Okay.
So when you talk about fentanyl, when you talk about all types of drugs that our community are being inundated with, I wanted to make sure people in our context could have a conversation. And when the campaign said that could happen and that all those who would come would have to go through me in order to get in the building, I said, that's something I want to do. I want to have a conversation with our former president and any presidential candidate that's willing to hear from those who are marginalized, disenfranchised, and pushed aside.
But that's a voice that you wanted to make sure that he heard.
Absolutely.
He hears these voices in your community. So we know that a lot of these things, it's about the pictures. It's
sure.
about
right.
the optics. And sometimes in these, and by the way, both parties are guilty of this. They manage these and stage these events, and the people involved end up becoming props. How are you concerned about that?
You know what, Guy, if I didn't control everybody that was coming in there, I would be. But in order for you to get in my building on Saturday, guess who you got to come through?
Pastor Zoe.
And I need to look at your what? Zip code.
Okay. You want it to be the neighborhood people talking.
Absolutely.
To him.
But that doesn't mean that they aren't going to be used as props in commercials and exploited in that way. So how do you, I mean, and maybe it's a give and take. Maybe that's a given and you accept
sure.
it. But then in return, you get a chance to transmit a message.
Absolutely. But God, to your point, that's why you do voter registration. That's why you make sure people understand absentee ballots. That's why you make sure you let people know that they can get on our bus and we're going to take them to go and vote on November the 5th. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to now hold you accountable. Hold on. Time out. Yeah, we had a conversation in June, but when January comes, we're going to hold you accountable to that conversation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How does your congregation feel about this? Have they responded? What's their response to the president coming?
Well, the Bible teaches that we should be praying for our political candidates, period. The Bible is a political book. Prayer is political in terms of God taking the heart of the king and turning it the way he wants. So any Bible-believing Christian is going to want to have a conversation with people that are in authority because they believe that God can use that person's heart and turn it to accomplish his will on earth as it is in heaven.
There's a lot made right now about the black men and their wishes and wants in this campaign. Obviously, I can't speak to that. Do you see a turning here in this campaign to President Trump?
You know, it's always a great political paradigm to talk about black men. At the end of the day, what are resources looking like for black men? So for us, I don't know how black men feel about the president. But what I do know is on Saturday, we're going to hold them accountable to making sure resources get to black men in terms of entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. Because if you go in the hood, you have to give money to the Arabs to get gas. You have to give money to the the Albanians to get food, Coney Island. In order to get education, you got to give money to whites. So you can't allow the wealth of the black dollar to go anywhere in your own community. So the conversation becomes, as a black man, that you need to be able to spend your dollar in your own community, and that's not happening. And that's what we want to hold the president and the former president accountable to.
Well, and what can you do for black-owned businesses moving forward with
Absolutely.
Your tax policies, incentives? You were saying before we got on the air that this event has kind of evolved, that originally Trump wanted to come and kind of preach to the congregation. Tell me what the initial pitch was and how it's evolved very
quickly. So the initial pitch was, can we come? And the first thing I thought about was what? A rally, right? But there's only one preacher in the church, and that's me, right? So the conversation became, can we allow our community to talk? And the former president, he was amenable to that.
And when you say the former president, you're talking to his representatives, and you were impressed with how they
the
look.
Personnel.
That they look like you.
We're right. And that was something that, quite frankly, God, was befuddling. You know, when you meet a group of people, I have my paradigms. We all have our perspectives and our biases. When people pull up into our church parking lot and they jumped out of the car, I said, hold on, time out. I said, whoa, y'all sure y'all at the right place? Who is this? And you saw half of the people with skin that looks like mine. I thought that was awesome, to be frank.
And they're representing the Trump campaign.
They're representing HQ.
Okay. Well, Pastor Zoe, stick around. We want to hold you over, and we're going to talk more because we have some more questions, and especially want to ask you about the Southern Baptist Conference that's going on in Indianapolis. Want to get your thoughts on what they're doing there and some votes they're going to be taking. This is JR Morning, and we'll be back with Pastor Zoe here on 760 WJR.
Good morning. It is June 12th, 2024. I almost said January. Just hit me upside the head. Get that. There's a chip that's missing there or something. We should find out in about 90 minutes which way the economy is headed in terms of whether or not we're getting control over inflation. That, of course, impacts the interest rates that I think everybody would like to see a little bit of relief there. That'll be coming up in 90 minutes. Then we'll be watching the Fed to see what they do. Right now, the market's trending in the right direction. We will be discussing at 7:19 with Matthew Schneider the Hunter Biden verdict, guilty on all charges. What are the possible sentences? How does this impact his tax trial coming up this fall? But first, it is a major get-together, really quite unique. The former president, Donald Trump, coming into an urban center and having not just a rally, but a dialogue. Now, it started out as a rally, Lloyd.
Yeah.
But because of the pastor involved, he said, no, I got a different idea. And we're lucky enough to have that pastor with us.
Yes, Pastor Lorenzo Sewell. He is pastor of 180 Church in Northwest Detroit, where the former president will be this coming Saturday. And Pastor Zoe, once again, welcome. Appreciate you being here this morning.
So grateful. So grateful to be here.
How would this be set up inside of the church? Will it actually be round tables? They say it's a round table. Will it actually be round tables?
We actually will have round tables where we typically would do an altar call, right? So we sit about 660 within our building, but we have a space which we would call the altar, which we believe God alters lives there. We will have round tables.
And you were saying that it's not going to be choreographed and rehearsed. You're going to have real people asking him questions. Like who?
We are real people right in our community. We're connected to a methadone clinic. We have a halfway house. We feed about 70 seniors every single week at the church. And they're going to be coming out asking the former president about the agenda that we have as a community, because every political candidate needs to hear that urban America, we also have an agenda in terms of transportation, housing, education, and healing medical, mental, and dental illnesses.
It's, I'm fascinated at the approach you took here when the political professionals came in. And to those of you just joining us in the 7 o'clock hour, he told us that when they tumbled out of the car, they were all black Americans, more than half of them. And that you see more black faces in the Trump campaign than you do in some of the congressional folks that come your way. But I got to ask you, what's going on in the black community? We have seen in polls the support from black men for Donald Trump have doubled or tripled from 2016. What do you think is behind that? What is he saying that is making him attractive? Or perhaps what have the Democrats not done? Or maybe it's taking for granted. What are you not hearing from them?
Well, when you look at our former president and you look at what has happened in the criminal justice system, every Black American can resonate with being in a context where you feel that the criminal justice system is weaponized against you because you have dark skin. I believe that's number one. Number two is, I believe...
So do they identify with what Donald Trump is going through with these four trials?
Absolutely.
Really?
I believe that. Absolutely.
I thought that was a political just commercial
spin on his part.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, when you...
And the mugshots and all of that stuff.
No, well, that's something that really resonates with people. When you've been in a courtroom and you feel like the judge isn't listening, you feel like things have been put against you that are untrue.
Or the charges are being brought that might not be brought against somebody else.
Exactly. And then number two is metrics matter. People, when they look at their pocketbook, they're like, wait a second.
Yeah.
I was spending this much for gas then, and now I'm spending, right? So metrics matter as well.
You were also talking about someone who wants to speak with him about getting identification.
Sure. So we have Leonard. He's in our community. He's been in prison for 42 years. And yesterday he and I were speaking about the former president coming. He doesn't have any government identification. And he said, can Trump help me with that? So he's coming on Saturday to have a conversation about our former president, help him get his governmental issued identification.
You know, and the former president, and we know he's been through, you know, he's been convicted of these 34 counts of falsifying records to pay this hush money to the porn star. And then you have civil liability for the sexual assault and everything. And so how does your congregation reconcile that, the morality and all of that?
That's a good question. We don't focus on a person or the politics. What we focus on is, number one, prayer. And God's ability to take the heart of all of our leaders and bring his will on earth as it is in heaven. So we don't focus on a donkey nor an elephant. We focus on the Lamb of God that was slain.
Do you look upon Donald Trump as a religious person? You rarely hear him testify to his faith. When
does
he's been put on the spot about it, he kind of sidesteps. Do you find him to be a man of God? And do you find communion with that?
You know, God, that's a very good question. All throughout Scripture, God uses people who we would consider, quite frankly, people who are faithless leaders. He uses them. So we never look at someone's faith, but we put our trust in God's ability to be able to maneuver the human heart.
To work through them.
Exactly.
Is there something you need to hear on Saturday that could change your mind one way or another?
Well, this only thing I need to hear is that he heard us. If he can regurgitate to us what we're saying to him, right? Because there's a big difference between waiting to speak and listening.
Well, there's a difference between listening and hearing.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. So you want demonstrated from him that he hears and understands.
Exactly.
But then puts that to, you know, does something about it too. Not just like says something to you on Saturday, but puts it to action.
Right. Yeah. That's why we're doing voter registration. That's why we're taking our community to the ballot box. And we want to do it beyond necessarily the ballot box. We want to hold people accountable.
Pastor Zoe, now your church is non-denominational.
Sure.
Right. But there is the Southern Baptist Convention going on in Indianapolis, and they're going to be voting today on whether to ban female pastors. What's your thoughts on that?
You know, it's interesting that we can tell women they can't lead when they cross the threshold of a building, but we expect them to raise our children. We expect them to be able to manage the house. But because of their gender, they can't lead in the church.
And donate to the church.
Well, there it is in that part, guy. Right? Now, so listen, if you don't want me to lead, how about you don't allow me to serve and don't take my money anymore? So let's do that. Let's vote on that as well.
How long will it be before the church closes down?
Yeah, right. You need women in the church. I mean,
absolutely.
Hello.
Would you welcome a co-pastor?
Absolutely.
A female co-pastor?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, all throughout Scripture, you see at the cross, it was a woman. You see a woman gave birth to Christ. I mean, you see women all throughout. You look, Deborah, she was a prophetess. So how can I look at somebody's gender and say God can't use them?
Do you, we're at the end here, but do you pray for this country and this world and that we can get to a better spot?
The Bible says, first of all, we should be praying and making intercessions for our leaders and those that are in high positions.
Okay, well, good luck. Continue to pray for them because, you know, it's tough times.
It is.
And we thank you for seeking dialogue instead of monologue.
Yes.
Pastor Lorenzo Sewell, Pastor Zoll, he is pastor of 180 Church in Northwest Detroit. What time will the president be there on Saturday?
Yeah, doors open at 1, and 4 o'clock will start.
Okay, Pastor Zoll, thanks for being here, man. Appreciate
it. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Coming up, we'll be talking about Hunter Biden with Matthew Snyder coming up next at 7:19.
Time for WJR Business Beat, brought to you by Shelving.com. We rack your world. Let's check in with Jeff Sloan, founder and CEO of Startup Nation.
When it comes to Michigan as a leading state in the nation for given business sectors, you might think autos, mortgages, pizza, perhaps cherries. But we've got news. Michigan's got a new crown now as it moves to the top spot amongst states in this category. What is it? It's legal cannabis. Michigan is now the state with the largest legal cannabis market in the country. As the new leader, Michigan now sells more legal cannabis than California, which previously held the top spot. That according to data shared with the online publication sfgate.com, that stands for sanfranciscogate.com, and the data comes from BDSA, they're a cannabis analytics firm. The new data shows Michigan sold 22 million cannabis products, such as flowers or vape pens, for example. That's in March alone, while California sold 21.3 million products by comparison. Why is Michigan doing so well in this business sector? Well, for one thing, legal cannabis is comparatively cheap in the state of Michigan, especially in contrast to how expensive it is in California. Second, Michigan has taken a strong stand against illegal sales, and that forces consumers to rather purchase in the legal market. Third, states surrounding Michigan do not currently have legal recreational cannabis sales environments, so that means Michigan picks up sales generated by those traveling here from other states to make their purchases. Lastly, Michigan has one of the lowest cannabis tax rates in the country as well. All of this contributes to Michigan's ascent to the top state now in the cannabis market throughout the country. Who knew? And well, like it or not, we've got something else to brag about here in the state of Michigan. We're the top state in the country now in the cannabis market. I'm Jeff Sloan, founder and CEO of StartupNation.com, the source for everything you need to start and grow your own business. And that's today's Business Beat on the great voice of the Great Lakes, WJR.